give up the fight. We must be like Moses. We've got to keep on trying. Canaan land is just inside.
Hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Saturday night program, and we've been, seems no end. I thought we were kind of the end of good videos to watch, but there seems to be no end to it. And so I have one by Oral Roberts. It's a crusade in the early 50s from Houston, Texas. So we'll be watching that, and then we can have prayer afterwards. I think we need to focus on a lot of prayer. And so we'll get started real soon now. And I got a nice testimonies today. But Sister Kathy, you're here, but only half is here.
Yes, I always turn off this anyway when you're showing a movie, because this is delayed, so I went ahead and just, there's no need for me to be on seeing people and seeing Rumble too, so
okay.
I'm just half one eye and half sense tonight.
Well, there's no, Sharon shows she's here, but she's not.
She's view only, wasn't she? That's when I saw.
Oh, okay.
And she isn't on here on this thing over here, in Rumble's what I mean. I don't see her. Nope, she hadn't signed in on here, so.
Okay. There. All right, don't call 911. She just came in.
All right, cancel the alert. Alarm.
All right, Sister Sharon. Now she's muted herself, I'm sure of it.
No, she hadn't. Not that quick.
Sister Sharon, we can't hear you, Sister Sharon. All right.
Well, we got Desmond and Nana Debbie and Eve and Twizzle and Charles and
Charles is here.
18 people. Yeah, hello? He's double dipping too, just like
double
we do.
Dipping. Hello, Brother Charles.
Hey, Chaplain. Now, I've got to ask you, did you get in touch with the bishop?
Now, here's the thing. Did you email me it or did you send a text?
A text.
All right. I've got my text right here, and I looked for it yesterday, and I didn't get it. So I've got you here with me, and don't have it.
Oh. Well, I'll email it to you, Chapel.
Yeah. So I'll email it to me. I don't have it here.
That's strange. Oh, well, I'll just email to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
But had a real good day. Well, let me see now. Sister Sharon, are you all prepared? Hello, Sister Sharon. Nope, no response.
Well, she is fine because I spoke with her this afternoon about the weather report I heard that power was out in Michigan, and thank God she and Bobby were seeing the light, so they didn't have a problem there.
Okay. All right. And Gigi and Randy are here. Hello?
Yes, we are here. I think because it's a movie, I think we're going to go on Rumble.
Okay.
And we'll call back in later. Is that okay?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. And then we have Sister Rita here.
Hello, Captain John.
Hello.
And hello to everyone out there.
Okay. Hello to you. We'll all talk later.
Okay.
All right. Sister Sharon is not responding. So, Sister Kathy, how was prayer last night?
It was very good. We had the regular group and Michael from New Jersey, and he had a toothache and he was a little depressed. So we all prayed for him. And just a one, there she is.
Hello,
right.
Sister.
Well, I have my usual trouble with my phone and my computer, and I'm sorry.
That's
and everything
okay.
like that. So
that's all right.
Here I am.
Well, glad that you're on. So, all right. Glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay. And last night went really, really good with Pastor Ernie. And he let me, as usual, he let me close with the gospel. And I thought it was really, really well. So I was very, very excited. And then today at church, it went very well. Today's a good day. And then the pastor preached on curses.
And well,
it's not something you hear too often. So after it was over, I told him the experience I have had praying with people and how the Masonic Lodge has come to the surface here with curses. So not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, he wants me to teach on curses, but bring forth the Masonic Lodge, because it is fairly popular in Texas. So I said, yeah, I will. So that was a nice blessing. And then I ended up spending some time praying for a brother that I could see depression all over him, and it was true. So he shared some things with me, and then I had real, real nice prayer. Came home, and then I had that, it's called, it's Humble, Texas. It's pronounced but it's spelled Humble, prayer unity. And there was about, I'm going to say a good 20 or more. We're supposed to go from 3 to 6, and I was supposed to speak at 4 or something, but I didn't get to speak just before 7. I mean, it was really going, Sister Kathy.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it was really going.
All the prayers were answered then.
And I, there was still more after me. So that was I think what they should do though, I mean, it was really good, but they should intersperse it with prayer. You know, there were pastors speaking, there was some politicians there, godly politicians. So it was excellent. And they wanted me to pray about worldwide revival. So I shared how the great revivals in the United States spread like worldwide. And I gave them some knowledge of what was happening overseas in the country we ministered to. And then I got to pray. So it worked out really, really well. They were very appreciative of it. So some, a woman came up and she wanted my the list of the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. So I gave it to her. And then I was walking away and a woman came up and she said, "You mentioned France." And I said, "Yeah." She said, "When was that?" So I pulled out the list. I had a lot of copies with me and I pointed it to her and showed that this is when it spread from the United States to France. Thank you. Thank you so much. So it went really well. I came home, and I wasn't home long, and here I am on the show.
Well, I call that a day well lived.
No, there was about 3 hours. I had an opening there in the afternoon that I could
Well,
have,
next week you'll make amends, right? Or we'll stay on here till 1 tonight.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I did. I've been saving Oral Roberts. I want to watch tonight, folks, because I've been picking up the power when he talks. He'll say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God. And he says it quite a bit when he's praying. Now, I don't know if that's all the time, but the last couple shows, and it rings with me when he says that. So I want to watch real closely tonight about when he's invoking the name of the Lord. I'm interested in how many times he does it and how he's using the Lord's name, because the last one had tremendous power. That show we watched last Saturday.
And I watched one today about the prodigal son, and I have never heard it preached better. It was just awesome. So that was just a blessing today.
Okay. Who preached it?
Oral Roberts.
Oh.
Back in and I think he was in Houston when he preached that one.
I thought it said 52. This says 62. That's all right. And it doesn't have a title. Yeah, 62. That's still old enough for me.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if he had tapered off and, you know, a little bit. That's going to be very interesting.
All right. I got it in place here. Let me get it over. All right. Here we go. This is 1962, Houston, Texas. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the unity of the brethren, Lord. I thank you for these faith, these things, these videos we've seen to edify us, Lord, and exhort us. Amazing, amazing things, Lord, amazing. So we praise you and thank you, Lord, and may we all grow in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Lord. So thank you. We want to please you by moving in faith. In Jesus' name we ask. And whatever we do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name. All right. This is August 1962, Houston, Texas. And it doesn't give the title of it. Chronicles of Faith. Okay, here we go.
Coming up on Chronicles of Faith, the first part of Oral Roberts' classic message on the Holy Spirit and a healing line from the August 1962 Houston, Texas Crusade.
Chronicles of Faith. I'm Ray Lewandowski, your guide on this look back at the visual chronicles of the man of faith with a message for your deliverance, the man, Oral Roberts. Today we continue our look back at the crusade meetings from Houston, Texas, and continue Oral's early messages on the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Today, Oral doesn't preach on a specific gift, but rather on the Holy Spirit in general. Now let's hear the first part of Oral's message on the Holy Spirit, followed by a healing line from the August 1962 Houston crusade meetings in the Sam Houston Coliseum.
First, here is a gospel song.
If you know the Lord, you need nobody else to see you through the darkest night. You can walk alone. You only need the time to pray every day. And when you're head home, he'll show you the way. If you know the Lord, you need nobody else to see the light, his wonderful light.
Now, Reverend Roberts.
If you had lived in the days of Jesus Christ, or in the days of his apostles, or sometime later in the days of the early church, you would have known about a great spiritual religious experience called the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You would have wanted that experience. You would have desired above all other things, because through it you would have been given the power of God to witness, the power of God to bring forth miracles of deliverance for the people. You would have received a joy, a force within you, an outgiving of yourself that you could not have received in any other way. This great, tremendous experience of the Holy Spirit was the normal experience of the lives, or in the lives, of the early Christians. Jesus counted that experience so important for his followers that when he rose from the dead and was getting ready to ascend to his Father, he gathered his disciples to him and commanded them that they should go to the city of Jerusalem and there tarry until they had been endued with power from on high. He told them that he would give them another comforter, that he had been their comforter while he was with them, walking with them in the flesh day by day, but that when he went away, he would pray the Father, and he would send them another comforter. Now, it is very expressive to understand that this word comforter means strengthener, or the Greek is paraclete, one called alongside the help. And you can understand it better when you look back upon the way that Jesus Christ walked and talked with his disciples physically. As you recall, he called these men from the different walks of life. He became the great administrator and manager of their lives. He became the force that made them what they were. As long as he was by their side, they had boldness, power, joy, ability to witness for him and to bring forth the great work of God through his power. And while he was with them, he was their strengthener. He was the one who was the comforter and power of their lives. You can imagine how chagrined they were when Jesus announced that he must go away from them, that it was actually better that he take his physical presence out of the world. For he said, if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will not come to you. But if I go away, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter. Now, if you had a dollar bill, and you gave up the dollar bill, and someone gave you another dollar bill, you would have the same material value as you had before. So when Christ said, I am your Comforter, but I'm going away, and I will send you another comforter, he was saying to them, it shall be just as well with you when I'm gone as it was while I was with you. This is the extraordinary experience that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, as the disciples were on the day of Pentecost, it's like having Christ with you physically, like having him by your warm side, walking and talking with you and giving you the inspiration and force of his personal presence and power. And then when you receive this outstanding experience of Pentecost, you receive power from on high. It is the power that comes after. Christ gathered there with his disciples before his ascension, as recorded in Acts 1:8, said, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall receive power after that. Not before, but after you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, these disciples had had some power. They had had power to testify, to stand for Christ, but when he was tried and crucified, they lost whatever power they had. They were unable to stand boldly, powerfully, fearlessly, and they went into backsliding. Now he says, after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Now, we receive a certain power when we're converted, when the Lord miraculously saves our souls. Another power is given to us when our souls are sanctified by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But there is a greater power, a power far surpassing any other spiritual power known to man, when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. He is the one who converts our souls and brings us to God. He is the one who cleanses our spirit. But that's different from having the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Like being baptized in water, you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, so that your whole being is submerged in the Holy Spirit, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost and power. It is a true spiritual power. Not the kind of power that spins this universe. Not the kind of power that men have, whereby they build machines and operate things of earthly power. No, but a spiritual power, a supernatural power, an anointing of the Holy Spirit that you feel within your physical frame, your mind and spirit. Oh, how different you are when this spiritual force of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You say, Brother Roberts, if I receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon me, exactly what does this power do to me? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I think I can answer it. First of all, this great power of the Holy Spirit brings the best out of you. It takes the hidden talent, the gift of God within you, and enables you to develop it, to bring it forth, and to use it in its fullest way. So many of us, in fact, all of us, have the gifts and callings of God. We are endowed with certain leanings and propensities. We have abilities within us that sometimes the naked eye cannot see, or some other human being cannot discern. But God has placed those gifts within us. And those talents, when they are developed and brought forth, become great. They become almost an earth-moving power. They enable us to do exploits in the name of the Lord. But if those talents lie undetected by our eye, it's like having a treasure behind closed doors. One might never know that they're there. But the Holy Spirit reveals these talents and gifts to us, and he uncovers them, brings them forth, and we feel suddenly a new magnificence in our spirit. We feel a strength, a force, a power to do what our natural leaning is. Now, if you are a singer and you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will sing at your fullest capacity. If you are a musician and you have the baptism, you will have the ability to play at your very best. If you're a farmer, if you're a businessman, if you're a speaker, or if you're a hairdresser, whatever you are, if you receive the Holy Spirit, God will enable you to develop your gifts to the fullest extent. And if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you may have some use of your gifts, but you will never know how fully outstanding a person you can be until you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, how I praise God today for this Pentecostal experience. God baptized me with the Holy Spirit way back in 1936. And it is through this experience that God has given me the ministry of deliverance. Had I not had the baptism, I would never have prayed for the healing of the sick. My hands never would have become as an extension of the hands of Christ. I would not have had the boldness to challenge the forces of sin, disease, demons, and fear. Nor would I have traveled over the world in a ministry of miracles and divine deliverance. I could not have had the courage to do it within myself. Nor would I have known the gifts and callings of my life had not the Holy Spirit been poured out upon me. God says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Not only are we not to be drunk, we are to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, because through the Holy Spirit we'll become soul winners and deliverers of the people. And I'm sure that every one of us children of God wants that experience. Let us pray.
While all heads are bowed, Reverend Roberts gives an invitation to all who desire to accept Christ as their personal Savior.
Now I want every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who believes in my prayers, and you want my prayers that you may be born again, you may be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you want me to pray for your soul like that tonight, raise up your right hand quickly. Raise it up high. Hundreds of hands are being raised. Upstairs, put your hand up so I can see you, please. Raise it up, please. Now, every one of you with your hand up, please stand on your feet for my prayer. Please stand. And they're getting up. What a beautiful sight. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. Now, do not sit back down. We have a place in front of us here at the platform where I wish to pray for you. Please walk forward and stand here for my prayer. Come on. Thank God they're coming. Every one of you, come now. Come on to the Lord.
Coming home, coming home, nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Let everybody put your hands together in prayer like this. Raise your head up with your eyes closed. And let us all pray this prayer out loud together. Ready? O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, a backslider. Come into my heart and save me. Cleanse me from all sin. Deliver me from this world and fill me with God. I take Christ as my Lord and Savior to live a clean and holy life and a witness for the Lord forever. Amen. If you meant that, say amen. Let's all raise our hands and praise the Lord a few moments. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
They are now going to the prayer room where ministers and Christian workers will pray with them until they know they are saved. Now, Reverend Roberts would like to pray with you there in the television audience.
Did you feel the presence of God as these people have who have come forward here and prayed the prayer with me? Have you felt something in your heart causing you to desire to come closer or to take him as your Savior? Then please pray this prayer with me. Please don't be embarrassed. There in your own quietness, repeat this prayer out loud, or at least to God with me. Ready? O Lord Jesus, be merciful to me and save me today.
Come into my heart. Save my soul. I take Christ. I take him as my personal Savior. Amen. And amen. I believe something wonderful is happening, and something more wonderful can happen as you continue to pray that prayer and to believe. In a few moments, I will be back to pray for the healing of the sick.
We now join Reverend Roberts as he prepares to pray for God to heal the sick and afflicted in the Houston, Texas Crusade.
God heals, I don't. I am only an instrument in his hands. Sometimes a person mistakes and forgets that it's God. They may get their eyes on me, and when they do, there is no healing because I cannot heal. Only God can heal. Let me be an instrument. Let me lay my hands upon you. Let it be as an extension of the hands of our Lord. Don't even think about my hands. Just try to make them a symbol of the hands of the Lord, because it's his hands that do the healing. Put your mind on the Lord. In a few moments, I'll be stretching forth my hand to pray for you there. I know God can do it. And you pray for us and pray with us as we pray for the sick here. We urge each one of you to go back and have your body examined by your own doctor. Let him be the judge of whether you continue or discontinue your medication, because if you are healed, he will know that the disease is gone. And above all, give the glory to God and come closer to him. Amen. Folks, this little boy has two things, a nose ulcer, isn't it? It bleeds. And then his right ear is deaf. His left ear is okay, right? This is Marvin Alter of Brownwood, Texas, First Methodist Church. Let me have him up here, Brother Deweese. And audience, I want you to help me now. Think of him as your child. Lay your hand on the chair. This is Marvin Alter. In Jesus' name, the right ear. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Holy Child Jesus, whose ears were perfectly normal and whose hearing was perfect, we pray for this fine young lad that he will be healed. Heal, O Lord, heal in the name of your Son Jesus. Now then, I want you to turn around. And the mother, you step up here and close up his ear, please, that left ear. That's right. Close it up. Son, can you hear me?
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
Brother Luis, hold that in front of him, please. Say amen.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, I like you. I want to know, do you like me?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I like the way you said it.
Well, he's been asking his daddy.
Pardon?
We're adopting these children. We've only had him 7 months. And ever since he's been in our home, he's been asking his daddy to take him to Oral Roberts.
That he could get that ear prayed for.
And so you see, he fights the school teacher and the children in school because his nose acts like an artery. If the blood bursts out.
Well, I didn't even pray for his nose. I was all concerned about his ear. Father, may his... I don't think I have to pray for that nose. I tell you, that child has faith, and that child has a mother here that has faith. And yes, she's just sweet. Take my hand, honey. That little smile. Turn around and turn that smile on the crowd, and you folks won't have any trouble after that. Yes, ma'am, sister, you're welcome for our part of it, which is prayer. Praise the Lord. Why don't you pray with me and help me do it? An injured back. It happened a year ago. She's in pain day and night. Mrs. Wanda Bell of Houston. Is that right, Wanda?
That's right.
Put your hand on your back, please. Father, we ask that you will loose.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, glory to God. Wait a minute.
Lord.
Lord protect her is all I can say. Bend over and touch the floor. Can you? Can you? Can you? Yes. Glory to God. Let's praise him, will you? Young lady from Beaumont of the Pine Burr Baptist Church, she wants to give a testimony, and Geraldine Bloodworth. Geraldine, what is your testimony?
Well, 3 years ago, I had a brain tumor, and I went to surgery, and 6 months later, I was paralyzed. And I was paralyzed completely for 5 months. I couldn't do nothing but blink my eyes. And I watched your ministry on television because the doctor sent me home and said they gave me up. They could do no more for me. And I went home and I watched your television ministry. And in 2 months' time, I was up walking and just like any normal person. Thank you, Lord.
You wanted to come back and tell it, didn't you?
Oh, yes. That's the reason he raised me up, is to tell people.
Sister, it's
and
so
my
nice.
Life is dedicated to him for the rest of my life.
It's so nice to find someone who'll come back and tell us about it. We never would have known if you hadn't told us. How about that? And you love him, don't you?
Oh, I love him so much.
Are you attempting to win souls to Christ?
Yes, yes. So
God bless you. Fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen, and thank you for coming. Let's give her a nice hand, will you? Rockford, Illinois. Injury left her shoulder and neck with pinched nerves and muscles and spasms causing shortness of breath. This is Dorothy Velmers of Rockford, Illinois. Heavenly Father, we pray that she will be healed of these injuries. We ask you to intervene with your power and to heal. Praise God. Sister, what is happening to you? Well, can you use your neck and shoulders properly? That's the test. Is that good?
Yes.
Well, do it again.
Oh, yes.
Well, raise your arms up and see if you can use your shoulders.
Yes.
Is that good?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Praise God.
Well, amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Now, you meant business.
Oh, yes.
You came after it.
Oh, yes. And Brother Roberts, this is the only healing I have received. In April of this year, for 3 years it was, I was so sick with all of this, and I went to Sioux Falls to Oral Roberts Crusade there, and I had 11 different doctors, and I went to my doctor before I went up there. I told him I was going to the Oral Roberts Crusade.
Give me the end of the story.
And when I came back to him, I walked into his office, and he examined me. And this was this doctor's first experience with divine healing. And he said to me, he says, Dorothy, he says, sit down here and tell me how you received it. And I said, oh, Dr. Kitzel, I said, just have faith and believe, and God can do anything.
I'm breaking in for just a moment to tell you that Oral Roberts is about to pray for the viewing audience, and that audience now includes you. As Oral prays, expect God to touch you where you are, for there's no distance in prayer.
Now let me pray for the healing that you need so much today. Are you ready? Either touch your television screen or put your hand on yourself. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask you to send your healing power to our brother, to our sister, and to this little child. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be healed. Receive healing. Receive healing. In the name of Christ, amen and amen. Praise God.
Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe.
During this program, did God move some way in your life? Or do you need someone to agree with you in prayer? Call the Abundant Life Prayer Group at 918-495-7777 right now. Or call anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On our next program, we'll continue to look back at the crusade meetings from Houston, Texas, and Orr will preach part two on his message on the Holy Spirit. Now, during the Houston Crusade, there was a dynamic response to a special group growing ever important to Oral Roberts. What group? Well, the answer to that and more on the next Chronicles of Faith. Until next time, I'm Ray Lewandowski reminding you to expect a new miracle in your life every day.
All right. That was on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't quite what I was looking for. I only heard him use the Lord's name, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I think it was just one or two times. But it was excellent teaching. And he's, like I said, it's amazing, his early days there, the anointing on him. So, Sister Kathy, any comments?
No, it was good. It's just amazing to me that people filled up that tent every night. It was just, the draw was just amazing.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Oh, Paula Jean snuck in here. Hello, Paula Jean. Yes, Paula Jean. Okay. And Sister Sharon is here.
Yes. Hi, Chaplain John. And I really enjoyed listening to him, and it sent the right feeling through my soul that I knew I was listening to the right thing tonight.
Good. One thing I picked up tonight is he doesn't preach that long.
Right.
Anywhere between 20 and I don't think his preaching ever went over 30 minutes, but so I'd say like 25 minutes. What do you think, Sister Sharon? Is that about the time he preaches? 25 minutes?
Well, it depends on, you know, when you get started and how you get started and how people are reacting to it.
Well, I'll say the show, because there was singing in there and there was some other things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The regular come on up to the altar and pray and give your heart to Jesus and stuff. And a lot of programs, you don't see that at all.
So, yeah, a lot. Yeah, very, very good. Very, very good. Okay, we have Sister Rita here. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. It was a very good video. Very good.
The next one I have is South Carolina.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
So we'll follow.
Oh, we're going to get another one tonight?
No. Well, I do have another. Do you want to listen to another one? They're all the same.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my. Oh, okay. Paula Jean, are you there, Paula Jean?
I'm here, enjoying the inspiration.
Okay.
Who can do anything but be blessed?
Amen.
Amen. And I know I've said this numbers of times, but the and I'm not bad mouthing Oral Roberts at all. Just that in his older age, he had gone to the university and things like that. And I, when I never heard him preach like this. So I watched him a couple times and I just wasn't interested, and I just had nothing to do with him really. And that, again, it's nothing that he was doing bad. It's just that I didn't sense the kind of anointing on. But right. Wow, mm-hmm. When you go back to these years, wow, what a difference when he was younger than when he got older. But it was, he had great, great anointing from the Lord. Great anointing. All right. Well, I'm going to put everybody on hold here while I get up. Where is it? It'll take me a minute or two. Okay. All right. I'm getting in it. And South Carolina, right? Here it is. Florence, South Carolina, 1955.
That was when I was born.
I know where Florence is. It's right on I-95. I drove by it many, many, many times. In fact, I think it's right near the North Carolina border. Florence, South Carolina. All right, I got Oral keyed up here. This is let me see if it gives the title of the message. It's giving a little background. No, it doesn't tell you anything about this message. It's just giving background on him. It says, this I didn't know about his father, Reverend Ellis Roberts, who was a poor Pentecostal minister, it says here. That was his dad's name, Ellis Roberts. Okay, here we go.
Millions of people of all faiths come to this great tent to be saved, healed, and witness to what faith in God can do. Some of the things you're about to see, some of the healings, may seem strange if you've not been reading your Bible. For Christ has commanded us to preach and to heal. So to assure you that you're seeing these things as they actually happened, I have put this assurance in the form of a legal affidavit. A copy of this affidavit, duly signed, notarized, and certified, has been placed on file in the Florence County Courthouse, Florence, South Carolina. And now, I invite you into the great tent cathedral for one of the four services filmed in Florence.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my happy privilege and pleasure to present the man that God has raised up with a message for your deliverance. God's man for this hour, the Reverend Oral Roberts.
Now then, tonight, I invite your attention to the Word of God for the sermon. This is perhaps the most unusual an important sermon I've ever given in my ministry, titled The Conflict of Demons in the Human Mind and Spirit. I wish to read the words of Christ in Matthew 10, 1 and 7. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Also in the book of Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And Christ added these significant words, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And now I want to speak to you on the conflict of demons in the human mind and spirit. In a strange, mysterious way, the human mind and spirit are breaking down, becoming abnormal and unbalanced, filled with unresolved frustrations, festering fears, and unresolved conflicts. The tormented mind of man is hanging in the balance. All over the world, a strange thing is taking place. The mind of man somehow is not coping with that tremendous word called conflict. The psychologists have two names for this condition in the mind and spirit of man: neurosis and psychosis. In neurosis, the person is filled with conflict, but he does not lose contact with reality. In psychosis, he is filled with conflict, but he does lose contact with reality. And always the key word is conflict. Now, there is really no conflict between medical science and the Word of God. There is a different interpretation along some lines. They have different names for different things. And I come to you tonight saluting the world of psychology for the great strides they are making in treating mental illness. And I leave that treatment to them and wish them well. I am going into the Word of God to tell you what the Bible has to say about the torment of the human mind and spirit. When Christ was upon this earth, he came against the divided nature of man, against the evil spirit that pursued his steps, against the festering fear that tormented his life. Christ came in his own undivided, healthy personality with the anointing of God upon his mind, spirit, and flesh. He came in the fullness of the Godhead bodily to set the human mind, spirit, and body free. He came to heal all manner of sickness and disease. And incidentally, he gave power to his disciples to heal. And he used this description to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, and over against all unclean spirits. These disciples went out and returned with great joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Now the Bible gives us fourfold power over demons. Christ said, "I give unto you power over against all unclean spirits." What kind of power? First, the power of discerning. And we must be able to discern the existence and the presence of demons in order to know what causes this particular abnormality or the conflict of spirit. I said a while ago that the key word is conflict. It is God. And don't you forget this tonight. The battle over the human race is not between the United States and Russia. It is not between two men, the ruler of Russia and the ruler of America. It is not between nations. The battle is between Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the devil. And neighbor, Jesus Christ is going to win. He's winning now. He'll be winning tomorrow. And we are on the winning side tonight. We are given the power of discernment. One must have this power to discern. I discern the presence of demons by the Spirit of God in my life. The Lord said to me, "From this hour you'll cast out demons and heal the sick by my power." He gave me this discerning power. I discern them by the Spirit of God that comes in my hand. When I put my hand upon a person, and if I'm anointed, I can discern whether that person has a demon or not. Usually I know how many demons, the kind of demons, the name of the demons, and how long the person has been demon-possessed. This is something I cannot explain. It came to me by the power of God, and I have prayed for thousands upon thousands of these cases. And in many instances, the Lord has set them free and made them whole. Oh, people, when the power of God comes into a human being, it changes things. It takes away that neurosis, that psychosis, that divided nature, that abnormality, that breakdown. The power of God solidifies and unifies and sets free both in mind, spirit, and flesh. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Where does that bring us tonight? Where's this power to cast them out? He said, I give unto you power. I give you power over against all unclean spirits to cast them out. To whom does he give this power? To the followers of Jesus Christ to believe in his name. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? That is the word of God. When a demon is cast out, he is gone, and the power of Christ takes his place.
Amen.
Third, we are given power to forbid the demon to return. When Christ prayed for these people and cast out the demon, he forbade the demon to come back, which meant it could not come back. Now, we always do that. We urge the person who is delivered to go to church, to read his Bible or her Bible, to serve God, lest the worst thing come. Now, the demon always tries to come back, and he always seeks reinforcement. He goes out and gets other spirits more wicked than he is and comes back to re-enter that individual. And that's why that a person should put on the whole armor of God. He should be fortified by God's power. He should not trust to himself. He should mar, lest the worst thing come upon him. And I come to the fourth form of power that God or Christ gives us against unclean spirits. And that is the shed blood of Christ. First, we have power to discern. Second, power to cast out. Third, power to forbid their return. And fourth, we have the shed blood of Christ to cover our souls, minds, and bodies. But my friend, listen carefully to me tonight. No demon can cross the bloodline. If the blood of Christ is on your soul, you're as safe as God is safe. For no demon can cross the bloodline. If the blood of Christ is on your soul, you are safe from demon power. And no neurosis, no psychosis can hold you, for the blood of Christ is efficacious against the power of evil. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Every head bowed, please. Now, friends, while your heads are bowed, listen to me. And every woman to listen to me tonight and do as I tell you. If you will, the Lord will save you tonight. If you don't, there's nothing I can do to help you. And now I want every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who believes in my prayers tonight, and you want my prayers for your soul to be saved, that you may know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved, and you want me to pray for you tonight, take the first step, please, in his name right now, and raise up your right hand quickly. Raise up your right hand quickly. Hundreds and hundreds of hands tonight. Please take them down. Now, will you take the second step so I can help you? I want every man and woman, every boy, and second step in his name, please, right now. And stand on your feet for my prayer. Please stand right now. And they're getting up all over this tent. That's wonderful. Keep getting up. Keep getting up, please. We have a place in front of me here at the platform where you may come up and stand, and I'm going to pray for you. Don't sit back down. Come down the aisle right now so I can pray for you. Come on. Now, I want you there in your home to join me as I pray for these many hundreds of people who wish to be saved. They're going to repeat with me the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of a person who wants to change his life and live for Christ. I want you, friends, standing here, raise your right hand, please. And you there in your room, put up your right hand. Don't be ashamed. Cooperate with me now. The Lord will reach out his hand and save you. Put up your hand. All together now, repeat this prayer. O Lord.
O Lord.
Be merciful,
be merciful
to me,
a sinner.
Save my soul, from all sin.
Come
into my heart,
and make me thy child.
Forgive my sins, and save me
right now.
I receive Jesus Christ
as my personal Savior.
Live for him.
forever.
In his name, amen.
Amen.
If you meant it, say amen.
Amen.
Say praise God.
Praise God.
Live for him the rest of your life. Listen. Listen to me. If you feel the Lord has saved you, I want you to write me a letter. Say, Brother Roberts, the Lord saved me during your prayer. I want to know about it. And if you did not feel better, if you don't feel that God has saved you, write me so I can pray for you again. Write me. My address is Oral Roberts, Tulsa, Oklahoma. The saving of your soul is the greatest miracle in the whole world. Write me, Oral Roberts, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'd like to invite you to join me tonight with your prayers and faith as I start offering prayer to God for the healing of the sick. People are here from all over America, from many states in this nation. Many of them have been given up to die. And this, in some instances, is their last resort. There is no conflict between medical science and healing by faith in God, because all are striving for the same end. And it is not I who heals, it's God. When someone in this line is healed, it's God's power that does it. And I want you to join me. Open your heart. Have faith in God. In a few minutes, I'm going to reach out my hand and pray for you right there. I know God's able to heal you. All you friends here in the audience, join me tonight. Open your hearts to God. He's able to reach out and heal you there in your chair. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Deweese, I'm ready. Tell me your name, please.
Guy Griffith.
What?
Guy Griffith.
Guy Griffith?
Yes.
Where are you from, Guy?
Fairleigh, West Virginia.
Is this your first campaign to be in, Guy?
No, I was in Hound Hope.
And you have come here that you might be fully and completely delivered from epilepsy.
Yes.
Have you faith in God, Guy?
Yes.
Are you living a life for God?
Yes.
You are definitely saved by his power.
I'm saved under your ministry.
Well, if you're saved under my ministry, I know you're saved. Audience, bow your heads a moment. Thou tormentors that binding, I adjure you by Christ. Come out to this boy. Loosing those. Audience, raise your heads a minute. Guy, those things have really been powerful in you, haven't they?
Yes, I had one Sunday night.
Was it bad?
The Lord told me that I would be healed after it.
After this last convulsion which you had Sunday night, the Lord told you you would be healed after it. All right, audience, one more time. Oh, God, grant me this miracle according to thy will in heaven by the power of the name of Christ. Heal him. They're coming out. Heal him. Oh, glory to God, they're out of there. Thank you, God. Forbid them ever to come back in the name of Christ. God, how do you feel now?
I feel good.
Oh, that's
thank
wonderful.
God.
You think you'll ever have another convulsion?
I'll never have another.
Why?
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone in Jesus' name. That's the power of God, Guy. God bless you and go with you now. Yes, we're so glad you're here tonight. What did you say?
All over the country to study my case. There are only 30-some-odd cases of this disease recorded.
Only 35 cases of this disease recorded in the nation?
In medicine.
In medicine. In the whole world.
It destroys the fatty tissue and leaves scars on the body.
Mrs. Turner, are you the wife of one of our pastors here on the platform?
Yes.
Brother Turner, is what your wife said true?
Very true.
Very true. Do you believe that the Lord will help her tonight?
I know the Lord can heal.
You know he can.
Yes, I do.
On what do you base that, Brother Turner?
Well, if God can save you, God can heal you. And I've seen too many evidences of his healing already here in this campaign.
Amen. I'm going to touch you as a point of contact. And when I touch you, I expect to turn my faith loose. And I want you to turn your faith loose. You will. Oh, God,
I come to thee for Mrs. Turner tonight, for the healing of this very rare disease. I ask for a healing miracle now, that she be healed from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Mrs. Turner, in the name of Christ, be healed. Be made whole. People, raise your hand. The audience, get your healing right now. Be healed. People, hold on with me. Don't give up tonight. Why I held on so long there?
No, I don't.
I wanted to feel contact with God. I wanted to have the feeling of assurance in my heart. And I know that I felt His power. Have you felt His anointing yet?
I certainly have.
You did when I prayed. In what way?
A strange, glorious feeling came over my body.
People, you can get healed in this audience right now. There's a different atmosphere here now than there was a few minutes ago. Praise God. Master, may Mrs. Turner be fully recovered and miraculously healed, that it shall never return. In Christ's name, may I shake your hand and wish you Godspeed. And you, Holmes, wish you Godspeed tonight. You're so very welcome. All right. Now you've got polio from your waist down, and the right side is affected the most. Are you the mother? Step over here a minute and talk to me. Tell me when this happened to Billy Ray.
Last July.
And where do you folks live?
Lake City, South Carolina.
And your name is what?
Omni Osborne.
Well, tell me why you brought Billy Ray to our campaign.
To be healed.
Mrs. Poston?
Yes.
Do you sincerely believe that Christ can heal your child?
Yes, sir.
Why do you think that?
Well, I do, because he said that he would heal the afflicted.
Yes. Billy Ray, do you have faith in the Lord?
Yes, sir.
You think God can heal you?
Yes, sir.
Well, I believe He can. Will you join me now as I pray for this young man tonight? God, let thy healing go into his hip and limbs. Let the healing virtue of Christ heal him. Brother Deweese, I want him on my knee just 1 minute. Son, he's going to lift you up here. Brother Deweese, are you ready for this? Pastors, the sponsors and churches, are you praying with me tonight? Audience in the tent, you friends there, now, Jesus, we ask that his little limbs be healed and that they shall be restored. Restore them tonight in the name of Christ the Lord. Oh, God, loosen that little foot up and take the stiffness. Oh, it's coming now, son. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God. Now then, Billy Ray, I want you to raise that leg up like that. Oh, you can do it. Raise this one up, son. Now raise this little leg up, son. Oh, that's wonderful tonight. Jesus of Nazareth, let that virtue of healing go into this limb once more, into his little right foot particularly. Heal by thy power and make him whole.
What do you think?
I'm healed.
Let's see this.
What do you think, hon?
Because my leg is straightening. I couldn't get it straight back.
You?
I set up like that.
It is straightening?
Hurt.
How can you tell it's straightening?
Because I couldn't lift my leg up like
you
that.
You couldn't lift it up. Oh. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh.
Brother Dewey's been going to put him down now. Honey. Oh, he wants down. Honey, walk on off, son. Walk on.
Well, it has as much power now as it did in 1955. I was 7 years. I was probably that kid's age. I was 7 years old in 1955. Praise God. Well, all right, Sister Kathy. You wanted a second one. Do you have enough? I don't know if I have a third one. But
it is awesome, though. And tomorrow, like you said, he has the same power. I'm praying at Church of His Presence. We're going to hear testimonies just like this for autism.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I was 7 years old, folks, when that happened there. All right. Comments, Sister Paula Jean?
Well, I don't have comments except for that. He inspires in different ways. And I think that when you hear something that you can relate to because you went through something similar, then you really catch it even more.
I can remember now going back to sometime in the early 50s. When polio was really, really big.
Yeah, it real was bad.
Real, real bad. Do you remember that, Sister Sharon?
Oh, I remember the stories about it. You better believe it.
It was scary. I remember being kind of scared as a kid. And it would have been about 1954. I was in a school and then I transferred to another school. Hang on, I got to sneeze. Excuse me. Came out of nowhere. It's the first time all day. Anyways, they lined us up on both sides of the hall. It was the hallway going to the gym.
Right.
There was doctors and nurses. And it was the first polio shot. Sister Kathy, could you maybe go to Google and find out like first polio shots to school children? I would have been like kindergarten or first grade.
I will. I'll look right now. And we did sugar cubes with polio vaccine on it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was after me because I'm older than you. So we got shots and I remember it was incredible. Kids they shouldn't have done it, really. Kids were traumatized by it. The parents should have been there and all. And they were coming down in line, and there was a doctor and a couple nurses, and you had to turn to the side, and they gave you a shot. It would be my right arm, I guess. And kids were screaming. I mean, literally, folks, it was chaos. I wasn't necessarily scared with the shot. It was all the kids reacting to it, crying.
All right. On February 23rd, 1954,
a group
of children from Arsenal Elementary in Pittsburgh received the first injection.
54. Yeah. So
February.
This was East Meadow, New York, Newbridge Elementary School, that happened. So I was six. I was 6 years old. And they gave me the shot. I remember my eyes were closed, and I clenched my teeth. And the doctor said something to me like, very good, son or kid or something like that. And, boy, was I so glad to get out of there because screaming and hollering and fainting. And it was a circus that I'll never forget. I'll never forget it. So there you go, that polio there with that kid. You'd see pictures like on the news or TV with these big, huge iron lungs. Remember the iron lungs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I worked with a patient with an iron lung back when they still had a few patients with iron lungs and stuff. And it, even as an adult, it frightened me to see this person laying in this iron lung. It was scary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the iron lungs were a monstrous thing.
Yeah.
And there'd just be a head sticking out of it. That's all you could see.
Right.
And apparently the lungs would help the person breathe, you know, it would change the atmosphere in it. And it was frightening. And I'm like getting the shot. And then there was, I remember you somewhere you could buy stamps to fight polio. And you put them on envelopes. And I couldn't figure out how these stamps could, you were fighting polio. So I think I asked my mother, and I said, these stamps, how do you fight polio? To me, everybody should buy thousands of them. You know, that was my thing. And they said, no, you, the money that you spend on those stamps, that's what goes to fight polio. And I said, oh. Yeah, but it was a scourge, folks, back in the late 40s there, early 50s. Polio.
Let me read this to you right quick. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, frequent epidemics saw polio become the most feared disease in the world. Listen to this. A major outbreak in New York City in 1916 killed over 2,000 people. And the worst recorded U.S. outbreak in 1952 killed over 3,000 people. And many people who survived faced lifelong consequences. Deformed limbs meant they needed leg braces, crutches, wheelchairs.
Yes. Yes.
Some needed to use breathing devices like
yes.
iron lungs and
yes.
artificial respirator. But then it said a breakthrough occurred in 1949 when poliovirus was successful, and it was cultivated in human tissues by John Enders.
Yeah.
And so in 1954, they won the Nobel Prize. So the year you got the shot was the year they won the Nobel Prize.
And then years later, there was a booster shot, and that was the sugar cube. I remember there was a...
Yeah, that would have been like in 1962.
Yes. Yep, that's right. That would have been. 62, you took a sugar cube with the, but that one in 1954, I went through it, folks. And so when Oral Roberts, that kid there, the people in the audience, they were intense on this because that polio was a plague in the country, folks.
Yes.
And I can remember my mother, it would have been my stepfather, we're talking about going to swimming in a lake. And my stepfather said, no, that's still water in that lake. Because they believed something about mosquitoes and still water. Well, in other words, if the lake had a stream entering into it in one end and out of the other and the water was circulating, that was safe to go to. But if it was still water, it might be a little swampy there in some parts, the mosquitoes. So that you, people thought about where they were going because of polio.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal, that kid there being healed of polio. I'm sure that audience, that meant a tremendous amount to them because of the affliction that it was bringing in the early 50s in particular. And you said, what was it, 1952, there was 2,000 or 3,000 died in New York?
Yeah,
well,
3,000.
I was just outside of New York, a suburb of New York. So that's why the people were so terrified at that time.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was common, folks, it was common back in the day to see kids on crutches with braces because the polio would weaken the muscles in the legs, and wherever it struck, if it struck the lungs, then you couldn't breathe, and that's why they put you in an iron lung.
Right.
Yeah, so it was common to see kids. It was legs, leg braces and things around their hips and crutches, wheelchairs, and polios. It was, and you don't hear anything about it today, but I lived through it. That was big. I can remember being afraid, just walking around. You'd hear polio and some kid in school got it. And the news would be talking about there was an outbreak in such and such an area. So even as a little kid, 6 years old, I was afraid. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, and that it's no longer a scourge like it was. And that little kid all those years back, Lord, was obviously healed from it. And may many more have been healed back then, too, and you glorified. So thank you, thank you, thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let me see what time it is. Okay.
Gary.
Sister Rita, any comments, questions?
I really was blessed by listening to it. It just amazes me. I'm in awe, and I was really blessed by the video, and I was really it was a good video. I'd like to know something though. Wasn't polio contagious?
They thought it was. They thought it was. I don't think it is. I don't, Sharon, do you know more about it? I don't think it was contagious.
They at the time when me about Rita and my age and your age, when we were real young, they considered it contagious.
Was it or was it not contagious, Sharon?
But that would take. And take some time and read into it and see.
I don't think so. I thought at one point it was contagious, but it was found out it wasn't.
Right. Yeah.
But it,
and there was the other one. What else went around with that too that they thought was contagious and but it wasn't? There was quite a few.
Yeah, don't remember. Don't remember that. But yeah. I can't, the polio, I'll never forget that. That was burned into my mind because on the news, people were talking about it, the school
right.
with the shot. It was the early 54. Yeah. I would have been at 54, six. I would have been in, first grade in 54. Newbridge Elementary school. I went back years later. I was in that. I went out of my way to go into that town there where I used to live. It's called East Meadow. And I went by Newbridge Elementary School, and they had turned it into an apartment building. So it looked strange to see it as an apartment building, but they'd be assisted living or something. All right. What I'd like to do now, I was thinking about that today, is to go over to the scriptures and just read Acts chapter 1 and 2 there. I was thinking, I think the Lord put it on my heart, on Saturdays, because there's always time after we watch a video there, to read Acts chapter 1 and 2. Okay. Because it goes along with what we're doing here. All right, Acts 1:1. I'm not going to read the whole chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had come in,
that's a long chapter.
And when they had come in, they went to the upper room where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealot, and Judas, brother of James. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplications. That's what I wanted to get to, supplications, with the women and Mary, his mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Even though the Lord had directed them to go to Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high, notice they were praying and supplicating about it. That's intense prayer. Supplication means intense prayer. And that all, see, it's a principle with God here. Because earlier there in Acts, the Lord told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endured with power from on high, and that he was going to send, well, the Comforter. So they did. To me, it looks like in the natural, he should just go out and hang out in Jerusalem. I mean, the Lord said he was going to do it, so just hang out and do your thing and till it happened. But no, these all continued it with one accord, in prayer and supplication. So this was intense prayer. This was pleading with the Lord. Like, that's what that supplication is. Supplication is to, like, the example is to go before a king with something that's very important, life and death type. And you're pleading with the king to answer your request. So it's a principle. The Lord promised it, and they kept praying until the promise was fulfilled. Then we go to Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were still in one accord. That was 10 days later. He ascended on the 40th day, and Pentecost was on the 50th day. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then it talks about all the Jews that were there from other areas. And then we come to verse 14. And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, let this be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There you go. There is the scriptures about that was fulfilled when Jesus said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You should be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll be endured with power from on high. I think that's nice to read in conjunction what we're doing here every Saturday. So, Paula Jean, we have time left. If you would like to lead us in prayer about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the nation.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise and thanksgiving that your love is everlasting and that you have promised that when we ask, and we're asking, and we're asking in unity, Spirit, for you to touch great outpouring on your people across this nation, that they might know you through your touch, through your presence, experience who you are, Father, in such a great way that they bow before you, that they submit their lives to you, Father, that just by your touch they know you're trustable, that you are holy, that you're almighty, that you are loving, that your love is pure, and that you want to bless, not to harm. Father God, we are so praying for this because we know, Father God, that many will be reached as you do this. And many lives will be changed. The nation will be made brand new, actually, by the power of your love. We so look forward to it. And yes, we do look forward to your son's returning. But we with you also want him to be able to return to a spotless bride. And you and your Holy Spirit, you can bring that to be. We just really want to be able to celebrate that, Father God, with you as it takes place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, Sister Rita.
Okay. Father, I give you thanks for all that you have given to me, Father. My salvation, this house you've given to me, Father, and my strength, and you are my refuge, Father, and my comfort. Thank you, Father Heaven. I praise you. Father, you have said in your word that if we ask anything in the name of your Son, that you would give it to us. Father, I'm asking in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America and for Israel, Father. I ask, Father, that you will forgive us and that to be
merciful to America, Father. And I pray, Father, for all the Christians, your people that calls you by their, that I pray for all the Christians, Father, in America that is called by your name, that they will not be lukewarm, but they would love your son, that we would love your son, Father, with all our hearts and soul and mind, Father, and that if you have said that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, I will heal the land. And Father, and also you will not only humble ourselves, but we have to repent, and that you would heal us, heal our land, Father. And America needs healing, Father, from all the abortions we have done in America, from the homosexualism that is rampant now in our country, and plus the other really great sin of other, what they call transgenderism. It's another, it's sin, Father. And for us, legalizing pornography. And Father, I pray again that you have mercy on us, that you would forgive us, and that you would heal our land, Father. And I also pray, Father, for Israel. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And I pray for the Christians in Israel, Father, that they would not be lukewarm to you or your son, but that they would love you with all their whole heart, soul, and mind. And I pray for the salvation of the Jews in Israel, that they will come to know your son as their Savior, Father. And I pray, Father, for the IDF, that you put a hedge of protection around them, and that these young men and women will come to know your son as their Savior. And I also pray for Netanyahu, Father, that he will come to know you as his Savior, and that you would strengthen his body, his heart, and encourage him and comfort him, Father, and protect him, Father, from the evil men and women that want
millions
to
of people
wrong.
Of all faiths.
And Father, I pray and give you thanks that you have been merciful unto America by giving us Trump. I thank you, Father, for this, for your mercy and for your love that you have shown to America throughout the years. And I pray for President Trump, Father. I believe he's a Christian, but you know his heart. And if he's not, Father, I pray that he will come to the saving knowledge of your son. And if he does know your son, Father, I pray that he would love your son with all his whole heart, soul, and mind. Bless his family, his wife, his children, and his grandchildren. And I pray for J.D. Vance and his wife, Father. I have read that J.D. Vance is Catholic and that his wife is Hindu. And so, Father, I pray and ask for the salvation of these two people. I pray for the saving knowledge of these two people, Father, that they will come to know your son as their Savior. And, Father, I pray that you will comfort and Chaplain John and his wife and children, and that you will guide and direct all that Pastor Chaplain John teaches and what he writes, Father, and anoint Chaplain John, Father. I pray, Father, for everyone that is online tonight, that they are in a Rumble, in YouTube, and on X, that you will strengthen everyone and encourage us, Father, and comfort our souls. And I pray that if anyone out there has a broken heart, that you would heal them. For I pray this all, Father, in the name of my Lord, my Savior, and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Rita. And then we have Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Okay. Dear Father, I'm just so glad to be here tonight to be with our group while we are praying for each other and being prayed for. We have so many people around the world who need salvation. It's up that so many people around the world that don't know you, and we need to get the word out to them about you and stuff. And when you think about people in Israel and the Middle East that don't know you, it's kind of hard to imagine that, dear Father God. So we need to really be on top of the situation and our prayer time and how we spend our prayer time and just being with each other as we travel about the internet and stuff and learn who might need to hear about you. It's like when Chaplain John opened up Acts, the book of Acts right here, why we were here and stuff. And we were able to hear different words and just learn a little bit more about who needs salvation. And dear Father God, we just need to be self-assured when we pray that what we are praying is good. And any words that we pray are usually good. And we're happy to be able to pray for Chaplain John, his wife Nancy, and for the whole family. And we just pray that all the little ailments have gotten better and everybody's feeling better in the family. And we just pray for all the crazy weather around the United States, down there in Texas where Chaplain's at, and over there where Kathy's at by the East Coast and stuff. That there is just so much going on that it's not hard to keep up with. And dear Father God, I would like to ask a special prayer for my friend Jamie, who came in tonight to talk to me. And she's the health aide that would help take care of me. And on her arm, she had tattooed, "I am my brother's keeper." And I'll never forget that. And she said to me one day, she goes, "Well, I am." She goes, "I don't just ditch people." She goes, "I am my brother's keeper." And that just always stuck very firmly with me. And she's just a wonderful person. And she came in to ask for prayer for her elderly stepfather or father-in-law, I should say, who's turning 90 real soon. And everybody gets to guess what his name is. And you're right, it's John. And so we just need to pray for him and pray for John and pray for her family and stuff, that everybody gets through what's going to be going on. And then she knows that she is welcome to come here and pray with us and bring the family to come here and pray with us and just to be with us so we can pray for her too. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that we were able to listen to Oral Roberts tonight. It's very, very good teachings and stuff. And I just sincerely enjoyed it. And I thank you, dear Father God, that we have more that we can listen to, and just to enlighten each other with more knowledge and stuff. And just like learning about polio and stuff, it's been so long, so long that we've even thought of polio, that I'm going to try to remember to look in the old books and stuff and talk to my mom and read more about polio and stuff. And being a nurse and working with the youth polio patients, I know there is a whole lot more out there that we need to go over, and we need to prepare ourselves for what can be happening next. And dear Father God, we know that you are in charge. We know that you have all your plans in front of you as to what's going to happen. And all we need to do, we need to just pray with you and have you pray for us too. And we will all pray together that whatever comes up next, we are protected from whatever it is. So, dear Father God, I just thank you. I thank you so much for Abba Father International, the ability to pray around the world and have people come and pray for us. And I just thank you for that. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sister Kathy.
Well, I just sent a 3-minute song. Did you play that instead of me praying?
3-minute song. Let's see. Okay. There it is. Like a rushing of a mighty wind.
Yeah.
I'll get it set up so we can follow. Yeah, we can follow that. Yeah. Andre Crouch.
Right.
Let it overflow.
going to close with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit prayer. I think it's perfect for today. And here we go. Abba Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, understanding the hour in which we live. We see the day of the Lord approaching, and we are crying out to you according to your word. We cry out in repentance for our sins and the sins of our nations. We cry out for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We realize that time is short before the Lord Jesus comes for his bride. But according to your word, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will continue until he comes. We are humbled before you with the manifest sins of our nations, recognizing how this offends your holiness. By faith, we ask for one more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, both to win unknown numbers of souls to the Lord Jesus and to hold back the terrible spirit of Antichrist. With this mighty outpouring, we ask for the healing of the brokenhearted, the opening of prison to them that are bound, and the setting at liberty to them that are bruised. Abba, free us completely from the spirit of bondage and fear, and fill us with power, love, and a sound mind. Free us completely of unbelief, and have us grow mighty in faith to please you. In the past, you sent many great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and we are asking our Abba for one more before the groom comes for his bride. The church was birthed with the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to go with you in that same power. The great outpouring first came to Jerusalem. We are beseeching you for another great outpouring of your Spirit upon your people Israel, like you first sent 2,000 years ago. Abba Father, we love you as little children and believe the word with the same faith as children. We know when we ask our Abba that he hears us. Father, as the end grows near, it is like the days of Noah. To protect us from the world, we come under the power and authority of your word and your name. We are growing close to you for protection and asking that you heal all the broken hearts of your people, along with freeing us from bondage, so that the bride is ready for the groom. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless you. See you, Lord willing, tomorrow night with Dave Hauser. Lots of prophecy, lots of things happening, especially on the home front, but stuff with Israel also. So God bless you. Hope to see everybody tomorrow night.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame. Your blood-bought gift, today we claim.
Send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.
Send the fire.
Oh, and make us all fit to live or die.
Send.
Of sin and bring